tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by electric. Welcome to Quick Charge. It's June 4th. I'm your host, Joe Boris. We're going to start today with news out of Tesla. Emails circulating in NVIDIA show that Elon has asked the company to prioritize processor shipments to X, formerly Twitter, over Tesla. Almost immediately after Fred wrote this article, Elon, as expected, responded on X. He said Tesla had no place to send the NVIDIA chips to turn them on, so they would have just sat in a warehouse. The south extension of Giga Texas is almost complete. This will house 50,000 H100s for FSD training. This is really important because obviously X is a company that is privately owned by Elon, and Tesla obviously is publicly shared. This is something that's echoed throughout the comments on this article, the top comment by a user named Mac. Either way, the simple fact that Elon can ask NVIDIA to prioritize shipment to his other privately owned companies rather than publicly held Tesla shows that the conflicts of interest are real, and Tesla needs proper governance and oversight of its CEO more than ever. There's some critically important things happening here that are getting glossed over by people who are simply saying, well, this makes sense. He's the CEO of more than one company, and we'll ignore the fact that most CEOs only work for one company, but let's assume that you can be a part-time CEO, as Elon certainly seems to be. There's a real potential problem here. Just because the NVIDIA chips are available today, that doesn't mean that they'll be available whenever Tesla is quote-unquote ready. We have seen before, especially in recent years, that chip shortages are a real thing. We've seen ships get stuck sideways in the Suez Canal, completely throw off global shipping. We've seen wars and conflicts in certain regions set off massive delays in product across companies and industries. Who is to say that NVIDIA is going to be able to deliver these processors to Tesla if and when the company is ever ready? And let's say that that happens. Tesla's ready and NVIDIA can't get the chips to them. Is Tesla going to be able to get them back from X, or is Elon going to say, no, these belong to X now? This is a real problem. These are the kind of conflict of interest that critics of Elon Musk have brought up, and it's something that we see over and over again. This is an idea that Fred touched on yesterday in this post. Elon Musk's compensation package case will haunt Tesla for years. This is one of those things that the company can't get away from easily. No matter what actually ends up happening with this $56 billion package, if Elon gets it, people are going to criticize Tesla. They're going to say that he controls the board and it has the potential to drive down investment and drive down the stock price. If he doesn't get it, you're going to have a completely different group of people saying, well, now he's not going to pay any attention to it. Now he's going to put billions of dollars and more of his energy into X, into SpaceX, into other AI projects that directly compete with Tesla. And that's going to drive the stock price down. This is one of those things where there really doesn't seem to be a victory. There is no win for Tesla investors on this. So I think I have to agree with Fred on this. This doesn't bode well for Tesla no matter what happens. And if you think that Tesla's problems begin and end with Elon, you're quite wrong. They are facing stiffer and stiffer competition from all kinds of automakers. We talked yesterday about how May was a great sales month for EVs for not only Hyundai and Kia, but BYD as well. Well, now Ford is about to roll off its first ever electric Explorer. It's already rolling off the assembly line. Dealers are going to get these soon. The Explorer was the SUV that really launched the SUV craze, launched the SUV as a family hauler, as a family sedan in the United States back in the 1990s. It has been a popular product, not only with police departments, but also with suburban moms, families, everybody, even forest rangers and military units still buy a lot of these Explorers. So this is a very popular model. This is going to be a highly visible model right in that mainstream midsize SUV market. This is going to be a big winner for Ford. There's no question about that. And it is going to scavenge sales away from Elon and Tesla. If you're a Model Y driver, if you're a Model X driver, maybe you've leased one or two Model Ys in a row, you're looking for something different, you're going to be crazy not to check out the Explorer. So that's definitely something that is going to help Ford dealers. It's going to get more people into the showroom, and it's going to continue to affect Tesla sales as well. Now, as we talk about Ford, it's important to realize that Ford is also having tremendous sales of its EVs. Ford's electric vehicle sales continue to surge in May, despite the company's shifting EV plans. You're starting to see these legacy brands catch up with new product, with different product than what Tesla is offering, and I think it's going to continue to eat away at their market share. While we're talking about market share, we have to talk about BYD. BYD is continuing its global expansion. They opened shop in the Caribbean with 10 new markets planned by the end of 2024. We used to call these third world countries. Now they're called developing markets. BYD is pushing really hard in Latin America and throughout Africa, Southeast Asia. They are bringing high quality, affordable electric vehicles to market in areas and regions that, while they may not have the same kind of EV infrastructure that we have now, they also kind of don't have a reliable gasoline infrastructure, but they do have more reliable 110 and 220 infrastructure. So these are vehicles that are going to have places to charge, maybe not as fast as everybody would like, but certainly places to charge that people can depend on reliably. Again, we talked about BYD having great sales in May. They were up 38% year over year. We want to talk a little bit about their least expensive car, the BYD Seagull EV Honor Edition, that starts at $9,700, the equivalent of less than $10,000 US in China. Now, this is going to be a really interesting market test because throughout the world, less expensive vehicles do tend to outsell more expensive vehicles. We know the Model Y is the best-selling vehicle on the planet. It's not what we're referring to. We're referring to specific developing markets where less expensive vehicles tend to do better. That said, what's going to happen with cars like the BYD that are selling for these very low prices is going to be informative of what's going to happen in the U.S. market when some of these vehicles start to come to U.S. shores. It's worth noting that there has never been a mainstream automotive brand in the United States that has had its best-selling vehicle be its least expensive vehicle. This is one of the reasons why I think Tesla taking a step back from that $25,000 Model 2 or whatever they call it is a good idea. I don't think it's going to do anything but dilute the brand. You know, the Honda Fit was never the best-selling Honda. The Chevy Aveo was never the best-selling Chevy. The Ford Fiesta was never the best-selling Ford. You see this over and over and over again. Toyota Yaris, not the best-selling Toyota. Mitsubishi Mirage, not the best-selling Mitsubishi. Mazda 2, not the best-selling Mazda. Over and over again, you have these examples of the least expensive model not being a sales success. It's always something a little bit higher up the food chain. Even when you get into things like the BMWs or the Mercedes-Benzes of the world, the least expensive model is not the best selling model. So this idea that Tesla needs to somehow roll out a more affordable EV in order to increase its sales, I don't think that's quite true. I think more likely that's just going to scavenge profits and take sales away from the Model 3, if that. So we'll see what happens with BYD. Maybe that'll inform Tesla's next decisions as well. And while we're talking about BYD and Chinese competition and criticism of EVs in general, we have to talk about the world's largest solar farm that just came online in China. Look, whenever we're talking about electrification, there's always critics of EVs that come in out of the blue talking about how these are made in dirty factories, they're made with high pollution, the carbon cost of EVs is so high that most of them, many of them, won't be able to overcome that until tens of thousands of miles in operation. But when you have major manufacturing happening with energy, manufacturing energy that comes from these green and sustainable sources, you reduce that carbon cost, meaning that it's going to take fewer miles of electric driving to overcome that carbon cost and get back into the green, for lack of a better term. So this is something that Michelle covered. She talks a lot about solar in all of her writing. So this is a great thing. The solar farm will generate about 6 billion kilowatt hours of electricity annually, enough to power 2 million EVs annually based on an average of 3,000 kilowatts per year. Now, this is part of Xinjiang's Mega Base project, a plan to install 455 gigawatts of wind and solar. Again, this is exactly what you want to see. You want to see sustainable energy going into the manufacturing base in countries like China and India as they manufacture more EVs with a lower carbon cost, accelerating decarbonization, making the world a greener, better place. It's exactly what we want to see, and we hope to see more of it. That's it for the news on June 4th. Be sure to like and subscribe. If you're listening to the podcast, hit follow, and we'll see you tomorrow.